This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air, Linda Cohen along with you. Acne is the most common skin condition in the United States, and it can wreak havoc on the lives of the young people coping with this troublesome and sometimes disfiguring problem. In addition, accurate information about acne can be hard to find. Joining us with more on this is Dr. Ramsey Farah. He's the Division Chief of Dermatology and Associate Professor of Medicine and Pathology at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Farah. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So acne, what exactly is acne? I mean, let's start out with, help us understand what it is.
Sure. So basically, acne is an inflammation of what's called the pilosebaceous unit, basically the hair follicle. And when you have inflammation, you have redness, you have accumulation of cells called neutrophils, you have plugging of the hair follicle structure, and all of those things can lead to certain types of acne. So, for example, when you have a plug of the hair follicle, medically you get lesions called comedones, which are basically whiteheads and blackheads in layman's terms. And as the condition progresses, you go from these plugged pores to the inflammatory follicle. And that's what most people call the zit. And that's what we see as these red bumps and pus bumps on the face. But basically, it's a series of steps that starts off with the plugging of the hair follicle. Once the hair follicle is plugged, there's an accumulation of oil and so forth in the hair follicle unit. When there is that accumulation, the bacteria come in and grow and essentially feed off of it. And once you get that bacterial overgrowth, the body tries to fight against it, and it mounts an inflammatory response. And at that point, you have the acne zit, the so-called zit.
So do we understand what causes it to occur? I mean, you're giving us what actually is happening, but why does it happen?
Sure, that's a good question. And while we may not know the exact answer, we have some hints, but it's considered a multifactorial condition, meaning certain environmental factors come into play with a person's skin. And if the skin is predisposed in such a way, then it will manifest acne. But essentially, we think that there is some abnormality in the differentiation of the skin. And what does that mean? That means, you know, skin cells are born, they develop, and they die. And that process is called differentiation. That may be a little bit abnormal in people who are acne prone. And that abnormality leads their skin to be plugged, leads the hair follicle to plug. And that's the first step that initiates this cascade that eventually manifests itself as full-blown acne. But the things that can affect these are the hormonal environment.
Is that, not to interrupt you, but is that why you see it more frequently around puberty?
Definitely. That's right. Just as an example, I think by age 25, something like 12% of women and 5% of men have acne. By age 45, it's down to 5% for both sexes. But it starts in puberty, and the rates of involvement are higher in puberty. And I should just say that even though that may sound like a small number, by age 45, 5% of the population, 5% is actually a huge number, number one. And number two, the other statistic is 80% of Americans will at one point in their life have acne. And that's really an astounding number if you think about it.
Would you say that's true? I mean, you might not have the numbers, but is that true worldwide? I mean, or is there something about the United States, for example, that makes us more predisposed?
No, not particularly. I think this is just a shared humanity. All nations, all sexes, all ages can have acne. But I will say it seems that Mediterranean basin, individuals from the Mediterranean basin, from like Spain to Iran, seem to have a higher incidence. Now, is that something genetic or ethnic, or is it environmental? It's hard to say.
That was my next question. You actually segued right into it. And so I guess the question is there a genetic predisposition? You mentioned that something about a particular person's cell evolution predisposes them to perhaps having acne. So is this genetically determined? Is it run in families?
You know, from a practical point of view, from experience in the clinic, I would say yes, it does, because oftentimes parents who are patients in our practice come in with their kids when their kids are starting at a young age. So I do see it all the time that it does run in families, but we haven't on a scientific basis identified an acne gene. I think it's more of an issue of, parents or children are genetically similar and the children inherit a package of genes that make their skin prone to it. But there's no one gene we've isolated.
What other contributing factors play a role? For example, there's a talk about certain medications that people may take, or greasy cosmetics, or hormone changes during pregnancy, that kind of thing. Do those play a role as well?
Yes, all of them play a role. So let's take medications first. There are some anti-seizure medicines and psychiatry medicines, for example, lithium. Lithium is well known to induce an acne response, and I often see patients on lithium, treat them for the acne, and it's always a challenge because they have to stay on their medicine. Prednisone can cause acne as well on the face and the trunk. So certainly medications can do this. Hormone levels can do this, of course, as people naturally develop during puberty and so forth. But also tied into that is the issue of stress. So if you're stressed, you will produce hormones that will activate your oil glands that will make your acne worse. And occlusion is another one. You mentioned greasy cosmetics. So essentially anything that plugs your skin or covers occludes your skin will contribute to acne, and that can be cosmetics. It can even be a baseball cap. If you wear it all the time, you can get acne on your forehead.
Really interesting. So do we see it equally in men and women? Or is there a
We do see it more in men than women at an earlier age, and then as they go into adulthood and middle age, it's women more than men.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with dermatologist Dr. Ramsey Farah, and we're talking about acne. So does diet or eating oily foods play a role? I mean, there's all this, these old wives' tales out there about chocolate or other kinds of foods.
I tend to pay attention to old wives' tales, actually, because I think they're based on a sort of many decades and generations of wisdom. But having said that, from a scientific point of view, if you look at the literature, it can go either way. Some people propose that junk foods and so forth worsen acne, and other studies suggest it doesn't. So I think that's still up in the air. There have been some suggestions that a lot of dairy-based products, milk or milk-based products, can worsen acne. And if you think about it intuitively, it makes sense because whether it's organic milk or not, for example, it's still coming from a cow, a biologic organism that has hormones in it. And so when you drink the milk, you're getting some of those hormones as well, even if it's organic milk. The other possibility is, people are advocating this so-called South Beach diet, where it has low carbs and high protein. There was one study that showed 12 weeks of this diet seemed to improve people's acne. So it's still a little bit up in the air. But for example, these diets that seem to maybe decrease insulin levels may wind up helping your acne.
Oh, that's interesting. So why is it so essential to treat it?
Well, for one thing, it's essentially an epidemic, right? If you take a look at that statistic, 80% of all Americans have acne at one point in their life. But you may ask, well, what's the big deal about acne? And acne really is a very big deal. I mean, studies show people who have it have higher rates of depression and anxiety. As you mentioned in your intro, it can really be disfiguring in terms of the scarring it can result in. And so this is classic of the interplay between psychology and the visual aspects of dermatology. If you have a disease, whether it's acne or something else that causes, quote, a disfigurement or an abnormality, it's out for everyone to see in plain view, and that really affects people.
Absolutely.
So that's the reason to treat it.
So what are the preferred levels of treatment? I don't want to run out of time. I mean, I know there's topical treatment, there are medicines, there is more recently something like Accutane, light therapy. Tell me what you, at this point, what's the state of the art?
Really, the state of the art is to look at the patient, see what kind of acne they have, and then tailor a treatment that's individualized to their type of acne. And so there's no sort of cookbook answer. Everyone is different, so everyone requires a different treatment, but the treatments include creams, they include pills, antibiotics, they include serious medicines like Accutane, they include, in some instances, lasers, or, as you said, light therapy, something called photodynamic therapy, chemical peels. So there's a whole gamut, an array of possible treatments, which is exciting because my father used to always say to someone when he comes in the office, don't worry, there is no acne we can't treat. And with all of the things we have, I think it's actually true.
Is it more true today than it was, let's say, 10 or 20 years ago? Do you think the treatments have improved?
I think they have improved. The medications, even though the medications may be very similar than before, the delivery of the medications is different and enhanced. So yes, I would say so.
How early do you think you need to start treatment, or would you recommend starting treatment?
Really, the answer is whenever the acne arises and whenever it starts to bother people. But I've seen kids in our office that are 8 years old, nine,
really?
10. It does seem to be starting younger these days.
Is puberty,
yes,
by the way.
And I think the two are probably tied together. For whatever reason, people are going through puberty quicker. They're also getting acne at an earlier age.
So when should you see a doctor, as opposed to trying to do this with OTC, over-the-counter type medications and whatever?
Sure. I think if you have a very young child and they have comedonal acne, meaning whiteheads and blackheads, it's fine to start with over-the-counter medications. But if the acne progresses, then I would come in and see a doctor, because remember, the open and closed pores are the first step. And if they're not treated, it may lead to a worse condition. I'll just say one caveat, though. You have to be careful. The FDA recently issued a warning that there are some over-the-counter products that can cause some serious side effects. So you may want to Google them and check them out on the internet before you proceed.
How about treating the scars? Do you have effective ways these days? Again, I don't want to run out
of
time.
Yeah, there are a lot of effective treatments, but they're not cures. And I think depending on the degree of acne scars people have, they should have realistic expectations that the scars will improve but not go away completely. There's lasers, there are chemical peels, there are some surgical options, and there's more recently something called medical microneedling, where it's a procedure that in a microscopic manner injures the skin. And the other thing we can do is we can draw people's blood and centrifuge it and then isolate the cells from the plasma. And then we take that plasma, which has a lot of growth factors, and put it on people's skin. It's their own plasma.
Wow.
We put it on their skin after the microneedling, and that shows a lot of promise.
That's really tailored medicine.
It is.
Targeted,
it's fun
tailored
and exciting.
Medicine.
Yeah. Yes.
So very quickly, what's the bottom line? Is it treat early and avoid scarring, or?
Yes. Treat early, avoid scarring, avoid the psychological effects. Definitely.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Very enlightening. My guest has been Dr. Ramsey Farr, Division Chief of Dermatology, Associate Professor of Medicine and Pathology at Upstate Medical University. Thanks for coming.
My pleasure.
Thanks. I'm Linda Cohen. You're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.